Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about what I call a beautiful word. Beautiful because as I was studying and as I was preparing for this evening's message, and really as I was in my own personal time with God, and God was speaking to my heart and show me things through some praise and worship songs and through His Word, I've really become and becoming more fond of this word, and it is the word redeemed. All right, just a simple word tonight, just a short word tonight, but it's the word redeemed. And you know what, young adults, I want you to know today that you have been redeemed. Amen. That's a good word. Well, we could go home right there. Now it's going to get better, but you've been redeemed. And we've now come to the close of this month, October. Can you believe how fast time flies? We are in 2 months. We will celebrate the close of 2012 and into 2013. In fact, and not to be political at all, but we're going to have a big election, right? November the 6th. How many of you in here remember when President Barack Obama was elected as the president? Doesn't that feel like yesterday? It has been 4 years. Time flies. I mean, 4 years. Anyway, so we've come to the close of October now. Now I need somebody's help. Help me here. What is October all about? Jesus, you can never go wrong with that answer. Jesus! Yeah, all right, I heard some people over here say Halloween. You're absolutely right. The moment you hit October 1st, it's like you turn on the television, you walk down the street to your mailbox, and what do you see? Blood, guts, ghosts, goblins, spiders, ugly pumpkin faces. all kinds of stuff, right? Because, and really, that's what Halloween's all about, right? And then to add insult to injury, I don't quite understand this, but Halloween, not only does everybody get into, you know, the horror movies, and it all comes out, but now you walk into a store, and maybe a party store, pick out a costume, and what do you see? You see skanky, scary Halloween costumes. It's like, what is going on? Right. I've gotten to the point now where Halloween is like America's national day of fleshing out. Right. I mean, just get into all the ugly, dark, the darkest, grossest, immoral thing you can think of, and we're gonna have fun. But I'm not here to bash on Halloween. That's not what I'm here for. But you know, what I felt like God was saying to the young adults today is that while the world celebrates the darkness, you as Christians get to celebrate the light. Hello, somebody. While the world magnifies and they get into all the stuff that they get into, thank God today we have been redeemed and we get to celebrate the light. We get to celebrate the fact that, you know what, I was once in the darkness, but thank God for His goodness, His mercy, and His grace, and now I've been brought to the light. Does anybody here know how to or you can recognize the difference between a life that is lost and a life that has now come to the light? It's called a life that's been redeemed. You and I have been redeemed. Let me say this. Thank God today, you and I, we don't have to think like the world thinks. Thank you, Mike, because that's a good place to say. Thank God today, you and I, we don't have to talk the way the world talks. I'm thankful to God today that I no longer have to live and act like the rest of the world lives and acts. I'm thankful to God today that I don't have to worship what the world worships, but I can worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the living God, who the Bible says one day will split the eastern sky. Hello, somebody. Come back on a white horse for you and for me. Why? Because we've been redeemed. I guess my point today is, why is there a difference between you and the world? Why is there a difference between the Christian and the world? You don't have to raise your hands today, but does anybody have family members or friends who, you know, let me say this. Because the Christian ought to celebrate Halloween different than the world celebrates Halloween, right? And the moment you act a little bit different, the friends and family are like, you weird. You got a problem. I'm going to go ahead and do my thing. Why is that? It's because you've been redeemed. It's because you've been brought, and I know I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but it's because you've been brought out of the darkness, and now you're in the light. And so thank God today, you and I have been redeemed. Now, I've got it up on the overhead screen. I want to define for you the word redeemed so that we're all on the same page. If you've been coming to Shift for any amount of time, especially lately in our faith series, anybody enjoying our faith series? Woohoo! That's been good. I think that you've come to realize that, you know what, I've got to define my terms properly. I've got to really find out what God calls different things. If I just come up with my own definition, chances are I'm going to be wrong. If I allow the world's definition to infiltrate into my life, chances are I'm going to be wrong. And so today I just want to give you a simple definition of the word redeemed. This is Pastor Joe's definition. I didn't just make it up. I combined what the Bible Concordance says along with the English Dictionary. All right, but we're talking about this word redeemed. The word redeemed means this. It means to be brought out from under the control of someone or something into something else by virtue of payment and or power. One more time. To be brought out from under the control of someone or something into something else by virtue of payment and or power. See, today, I don't know if you realize this or not, young adults, but you have been brought out from underneath the control of some stuff into something else by virtue of God's payment. Because God paid the price for you. You have been redeemed. Let me put it to you like this. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. How did God? One more time. Let me say that again. Because you have been brought out from under the control of some stuff. And you have been brought over into the kingdom of God, if I could get a little bit more specific, and into the things of God by virtue of God's payment for you and by virtue of his power active in your life. Today, you've been redeemed by the precious. Let me put it to you like this. Today, Jesus paid the price with his precious blood. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of rings a bell in my heart that says to me and shows me my true value. Because see, Jesus didn't pay for you with monetary stuff. And Jesus didn't pay for you, the Bible says, we're about to read in a moment, with corruptible things like silver or gold. You weren't traded for a mere amount of cattle, amount of real estate. No, your value is now found because Jesus paid the price for you with his own blood. He brought you to himself, and I'm here to declare to you that you no longer belong to the stuff of the past, to the stuff of the world, to the stuff of the enemy, but now you belong to the kingdom of God, you belong to his spirit, you belong to Jesus Christ, to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of his payment for you. See, the other thing, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the other thing about payment is the fact that not only do you see your worth in that he paid the highest price for you, but today he has taken away every right that all the stuff of the past ever had to like claim to your life. Let me say that one more time because that was good. Because he purchased you, not only does that show you your value, but he also stripped every other thing of your past, of the world, of the enemy. He stripped them completely of ever being able to in any way lay claim to your life, which is where we used to live. When you go to the store and you purchase something, they give you a receipt, that thing belongs to you. Can't nobody take it from you. If they do, they just jack something and they get caught, they're busted, right? In other words, you belong to Jesus Christ by way of his payment. How many know ain't nobody jacking God? Amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, you don't have to turn there. You can write down this reference for now. We've got it up on the overhead screen. We'll turn to some other verses a little bit later here. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. And I love this. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. One more verse, Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Acts 20, 28, you don't have to turn there. We got it up on the overhead screen. You can write down the reference and check it out later. Acts 20, 28, speaking to pastors, says this. It says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You have been purchased. You have been redeemed by God's own blood. What are we talking about again? Then let me repeat myself. What are we talking about? We're talking about you have been brought out from underneath the control of some stuff. And I'll get a little bit more specific later on. Out of the control of some stuff, been brought over into the kingdom of God and the things of God by virtue of payment and by virtue of God's power. Is anybody with me today? The second part here, we talked a little bit about payment just for a moment. Let me talk to you about power for just a moment as well, because we just said again that you've been brought out of some stuff into the things of God by virtue of God's power. By virtue of God's power. See, when you are in the darkness, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the truth of the matter is that on your own, I could not get out. Sin, death, hell, the grave, the devil, the world had us all tangled up, all exercised control over your life and over mine, and it took God's power to come and set you and I free. And today, what I'm saying to you is that you've been redeemed. Whether you necessarily feel like it or not, whether today, let me say this, you've actually been living like it or not, you've been redeemed and you've been delivered by the very power of God. Now, some of you kind of look at it. So let me see if I can help you just a little bit. All right, how many of you know anything about? Well, let me just, because back in the day when they used to do circuses and they used to train elephants, they take a baby elephant. You guys may know this, and they'd put a rope on him and they'd stake him to the ground, or not him to the ground, but they'd stake the stake in the ground, like you would put a dog on a leash. Everybody following me? And this elephant would, geez, oh yeah, that's better to not stake the elephant. All right, no, all right. And so they'd stake this little stake in the ground, and the elephant would try with all his might to get away, try to follow mom, can't get away. It eventually gets in his mind. This is impossible, so he quits trying. Then you get this elephant, becomes an adult, now weighs probably 10 or 15 times more than what he did. All he would have to do is roll over and the stake would come out, but he never tries. He never tries to get free because it's stuck in his mind, this is the way that I am. This is the way things are and this is how it will always be. And I guess what I'm saying to you is that if it were somehow possible to get into, to get his heart to see that, hey, you have the ability and you have the power to get free. If you could just somehow get it across his mind that, you know what, that thing don't have any kind of hold on you anymore. Man, he'd shake that thing off and he'd go running free and dancing in the streets, all right? So what I'm trying to say to you is some of you, you may not even be living redeemed, but if God can just get it across your heart and get it across your mind just for a moment that, you know what, by his power, not by yours, not by your ability, not by your smarts, not by your education, but because of his power, because of what he's done, because of the grace that he has provided for you, the stuff of the past, the sins, the mistakes, the bondages of the past don't have a hold on you. And guess what? If you can just get a hold of it in your heart, it's going to bring you to a place where you just drop it just like that. Listen, you don't need no counseling. You don't need no 8-step program. You just got to, you know what? The Bible says I'm free. God, I admit what I'm doing. I quit what I'm doing and I forget about it and just get on your way right now with God. Are you hearing me today? Why? Because you've been redeemed by the power of God, by virtue of his power. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 2:15. Don't worry, we will get to some verses where we'll return together. But it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. If you read it in context, it means in the cross. So one more time. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ made a way for God's power to come, deliver you out of darkness, and move you over into the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of light. Did you know today you're part of the kingdom of light? Did you know today that you're a son and you're a daughter of the Most High God, of the King? Did you know today that you have a new nature? Did you know today that you are a new person? Not because of anything you can accomplish on your own, but because of the very power of God at work in your life. What are we talking about? We're talking about being moved out from underneath the control of some things into the things of God by virtue of his payment, by virtue of his power. Today I just want to talk about, actually, going to talk about, get to one thing today with a few subpoints. But something that we've been redeemed from, and I've mentioned it just a little bit today, point number one today, something that we've been redeemed from. Number one today, we've been redeemed from sin. You and I have been redeemed from sin. Listen, today, if you're going to be everything that God's called you to be, today, if you're going to do everything that God's called you to do, how many of you want to be everything that God's called you to be? Do everything that God's called you to do. You're going to have to know today you've been redeemed from sin. And that has a few connotations, which we're going to discuss. But the first one today is that Jesus paid the price for your sin. Jesus paid it all. There's a song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the debt that belonged to you and to me. The sin that you and I committed, we now had a debt that we had to pay. In fact, an unpayable debt. Jesus paid it all. John chapter 1, verse number 29. You can turn there with me today. This is the first verse today that we're turning to. John chapter 1, verse number 29. I like the way John says this. You've been redeemed from sin. Jesus paid it all with his precious blood. Today you've got to know that Jesus' blood was enough. His sacrifice was enough. Some of you in here, you live day to day, and you've got the condemnation, and you've got the sin, and you've got the shame, and you've got the guilt hanging over your head of what you've done, what you did yesterday, what you did a month ago, what took place 2 years ago, what was done to you 5 years ago that you didn't even do, but somehow you feel guilty for it. You've got to know Jesus' blood was enough. You've been redeemed from sin. I like the way John says it. He says in John chapter 1, verse number 29, he's out baptizing, and it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold! Sorry, it has an exclamation there, so it's my excuse. It says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now you got to get a picture of this, because I see two things in this verse I want to share with you today. Two things in this verse that I think are really powerful. The first thing is this, is that I don't care today how deep, how dark, how ugly, capital U-G-L-Y, ugly, your past or your sin may be. Jesus' blood was enough. How do I know that? Because look what he says. He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So let's put this in perspective. Because if you were to take a scale and somehow you had the ability to take all of your sin, all of its ugliness, all of its shame, all of its whatever it is, and put it on this side of the scale, what would happen? The scale would go, woo, right? But then you come to the other side of the scale and you put all of the sin of the entire world on this side. What's going to happen to the scale? Bam! What John just said here is he took care of the sin of the entire world. If he can take care of all this stuff, what makes you think that your little stuff is somehow going to render his sacrifice ineffective? Or not enough? We need to take a moment. We need to say, wait, devil, because you messed up from the flow up. You got it twisted. You got it wrong, because he took away the sin of the entire world. Ain't nothing too ugly. Ain't nothing too bad. Ain't nothing done too many times that God won't forgive if you just go before him and say, God, I need your cleansing power. I need your cleansing flow. Wash me clean, make me new, and get me on my way. That's been God's heart from the very beginning. God is not a God up in heaven with a 2x4 ready to beat you over the head for every little mistake that you make. Are you hearing me today? You cannot exhaust God's mercy. You cannot exhaust God's grace unless you just simply don't ever want to receive it and you push it away. Are you hearing me today? Okay, so that's the first thing I see. The second thing I see in this little verse is that God took care of the sin of the world. Past, present, and future. The sin that you may, hopefully you don't, now please understand, I'm not giving you an excuse to go out and do some sin, all right? That's not what we're doing today. But the sin that you may commit tomorrow, that you'll commit in a week, how many know today God's not done with any of us yet? In next year, 5 years, 10 years from now, should the Lord tarry, 15, 20, do you realize today it's already been forgiven? It's already been handled, past, present, and future. Look, okay. Notice what he didn't say. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world up until 1999. If you sin and once it gets to 2000, you in trouble. Did he say that? No. So as long as the world is in existence, Jesus' blood, Jesus' sacrifice was enough. Past, present, and future. Are you hearing me today? You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1. We can turn there and look at this verse together. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. It says, in him, or in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. One more time. In Christ, we have redemption. We've been brought out of sin, and we've been moved over into righteousness. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You and I, we've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from sin. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the other side of this, because as you look throughout the areas of life, if I could say this to you without spending too much time explaining what I mean, the goal is to walk down the middle of the road in every area of your life. All right? God's word will show you where the middle of the road is. What often happens to people is they end up living life in a ditch on this side of the road or in a ditch on this side of the road. Everybody following me? And the goal is to walk down the middle, all right? So the middle of the road is knowing God's love and mercy and his grace for your life, as well as knowing the fear of the Lord, all right? These two powers help keep you walking down the middle of the road. Now, let me give you an example, because the people that we kind of, because there's some people, I said earlier, there's some people in here and you live day to day under condemnation and guilt and shame, all right? And what you're doing is you're living life in a ditch, okay? And the power that will get you over to walking in the middle of the road is to know God's love, his mercy, and his grace toward your life. It'll get you out of that ditch and get you walking down the middle of the road. But then sometimes what happens is we think to ourselves, oh my God, that was a terrible ditch. I'm so thankful I got out of that ditch. And we go all the way, we go too far, and we end up in this ditch, right? And this ditch is just living a lawless life, saying, oh, I got grace, I got mercy. It doesn't matter what I do. Jesus' blood is enough. And it becomes a license to sin. You guys following me? Okay, so you need something else to get you out of this ditch, and to get you out of this ditch is the power called the fear of the Lord. All right, the fear of the Lord will get you out of this ditch and get you walking down the middle of the road. Hey, thank God for his mercy, and thank God for his love for me, and thank God for his grace, and they're inexhaustible. But you know what? I fear the Lord, and that means when I do make a mistake, I'm going before him, and I'm doing the best job I can not to do it again. And guess what? God will help me overcome every issue of life. I like what Pastor Jim said recently, and actually I don't remember where, but I think it was during actually the weekend. He said, you know, there's some stuff that you struggle with, but the difference is that each time it gets fewer and farther between. You guys following me? So over the course of your life, God is helping you, and you know what, man? I used to deal with it all this time. I used to deal with this thing all the time, and now it's getting less in my life. I'm learning how to exercise self-control. I'm learning how to follow God, and I'm learning how to crucify the flesh. And until one day, hey, you're free. Are you guys following me? All right. So along with this point that we've been redeemed from sin, I want to go in a little bit different direction to help the people who think that, just do whatever I want, get out of that ditch, and get over into the middle of the road. All right, everybody following me? Okay, so I'm going to do an exercise with everybody. I need everybody's participation. And keep in mind, this is the house of God, so you have to tell the truth. All right, now this exercise, I believe, is going to, again, beautify this word called redeemed. All right, but you and I need to see where we are at with God without his sacrifice, his redemption. All right, everybody follow me? So there's this question posed to me in youth, actually. And I'm just going to kind of sum up the question. But the question is, if God is good, and if God loves everyone, why would he send good people to hell? Ever thought about that? Okay, and so I had to take it. I was like, all right, hold on. Hold on. We need to take a time out first. Because you just said that God sends good people to hell. But let's talk about our state. Let's talk about where we were really at with God. All right? I said, okay, so let's do this exercise. Everybody, now I'm going to do the exercise with you. All right, by showing of hands, Pastor Joe will raise his hand first so you won't be alone. By showing of hands, how many of you here have ever lied? You've lied before, Pastor Luke? Oh, my God. I'm just kidding. You should put your hand. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Okay, I'm just teasing, babe. I'm just teasing. All right. Put your hand. All right. How many of you have ever lied? Whether it's a little lie, a big lie, it's a lie. All right. Question. How many times do you have to lie before you become a liar? Are you sure? One time. Right? Everybody okay with that? Okay, put your hands down. One time. All right. It gets worse before it gets better. All right, here we go. How many of you have ever stolen something? Would that be a piece of gum or maybe even did some time for grand theft? I don't know. I don't see everybody's hand up. Okay, let me help you. How many of you have ever borrowed something and you didn't give it back? You thief! Raise your hand. All right. Everybody here. Question. How many times do you have to steal something before you become a thief? Are you sure? Maybe 5 times, maybe 10. All right. It gets worse before it gets better. All right. I'll raise my hand first. How many of you don't look at your neighbor? All right, just... How many of you have ever had a lustful thought about somebody else? I'm sorry, come on, but everybody, you're all guilty. All right, put your hands down. Jesus said, you can put your hands down. Jesus said, if you even have the thought in your heart, you've done it. Question, how many times do you have to before you become a one time? So let's look at the reality of this. By your own confession, you're a lying, adulterous thief. Am I right? No, come on. So you and I needed the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice to be shed for us. I'm trying to give you a picture because the Bible says that all of our good works are as filthy rags before God. What does that say for our bad works? Are you hearing me today? The Bible says that while we were enemies of God, enemies, you guys, Christ died. You and I have been redeemed. But you know what? You need to see, the whole reason why I bring this up is because you need to see your state without God. And that should bring you to a place where you fear the Lord. Because you know what? If you're going to stand before God without his love and mercy covering you, and a sign that it is covering you is that you're making changes in your life. There's evidence of him working in your life and you getting past issues and growing up and maturing in the things of God. You have been redeemed from sin. Today, how beautiful is this word? Past sins, present sins, future sins, ugly sins, dark sins. And you know what? To all of us, even who are living a life, who the Bible tells a little story, and I'll close with this. The Bible tells a little story about two men who go to pray in a synagogue. It says that one goes to pray and goes before God and says, man, God, I've done this, I've done this, and this, I'm a righteous man. And he walks away. And the Bible says there's another man who goes to the synagogue and prays, and it says he gets down on his knees and he beats his chest and he says, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. And he walks away. And Jesus actually says, the guy who beat his chest, he's the righteous one. I guess what I'm saying to you is again, going back to the little example, you want to walk down the middle of the road. You don't want to be in this ditch under shame, guilt, and condemnation, but you don't want to be in this ditch either thinking that, hey, I don't have to make any changes. I can live however I want because I have the mercy and the grace of God. You understand where you're really at. And when you understand where you're really at, if you're going to stand before God living like that, you're in trouble. And the fear of the Lord will bring you out and get you walking down the middle of the road. Today, you've been brought out of the control of sin. And you've been brought into life and liberty in Christ Jesus. And you guys can just put this verse up and we'll close with this. Chapter 6, verse number 14. Romans 6:14 says this, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. No longer are you under rules and regulations that show how sinful you are and that literally separate you from God, but you're now under grace. What is grace? God's empowerment, his sovereign divine ability to get the job done. What job? Getting you past your issues and get me past my issues to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. Are you hearing me today? That's why sin no longer has a hold on your life. If you got something good from God's word today, go ahead and give him a great big praise.